Gatorhead Radio on AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM with Jimmy Purdy is brought to you by Shifting Gears in Paso Robles, 1621 North River Road. Shifting Gears has you covered from your weekend cruiser to your daily commuter. And now let's join Jimmy Purdy on The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM, and KPRL.com.
Good morning and welcome back. This is Gearhead Radio. It has been a few weeks, hasn't it? I don't know what happened last weekend, other than celebrating 250 years of being an American. So we took that day off. And then I think the weekend before that, I was MIA as well. So I'm going to be a little rusty today. We got to get back into the moving and the grooving. You know what I'm saying? It's good to be back. It's good to have you back. Phone lines are open, 805-238-5775. Or the text line. You can try that too, 805-238-5775. Any questions about your vehicle or anything about the auto industry? That's what I'm here for. Give you my best advice. Call it an opinion. I don't know. It's a skilled trade, right? So think of us like artists. We're like vehicle artists. That's what it is. You know, it's one of the things about the industry that makes it really tough, because when you get good at it, it makes it seem like it's that you just plug the thing and you know what's wrong with it, and then you replace the part and the car's fixed. But there's a lot more that goes on behind the scenes than that, right? And I think it's one of the only blue collar trades. In that aspect of it, does take a little bit of creativity sometimes, well, in most part, to not only diagnose the vehicle, but then to repair the vehicle, right? You look in some of the repair procedures, and there's a lot of unnecessary things that they want you to replace or to take apart to get certain components, and you can finagle stuff, I guess you could put it that way, in order to get some repairs done a little more efficiently. Stuff you learn over time, right? There's certain codes, say like a circuit code, and I love talking about check engine lights and circuit codes, because wiring is, that's what it is. Right? I mean, in this day and age, to fix, to repair a vehicle, you better have a pretty good understanding of how an electrical circuit works. So you talk about like an open circuit or a shorted circuit, you know, and that's anything from where the computer sends the signal to the sensor or the solenoid or the part that needs to be operated, right? So it could be that component, right? You get like an EGR low circuit code. Well, it's very possible that the solenoid itself has failed, right? If you've ever seen a solenoid, all it is a bunch of copper wire that's just twisted around the center piece, right? That's what it is. It's just a solenoid. And there's a magnetic field that's gets produced by all that copper wire when you send voltage around it. And then there's usually some sort of actuating pin in the middle. I mean, from a fuel injector to a shift solenoid to an EGR valve, to start, I mean, it's all the same components used in different aspects of the vehicle. So that's why I say it's really important to get a really good fundamental understanding of how an electrical circuit works, because all the parts are at the fundamental level the same. Like if you want to watch an electrical circuit graph on a lab scope, and you're trying to diagnose a bad fuel injector or like I said, a bad EGR solenoid or whatever solenoid it is that you're looking at, it's going to be the same. Shift solenoids, fuel injector solenoids, VVT solenoids. They all operate on the same electrical basis, on the same principles. So it's always important to have that fundamental understanding. But my point was getting back into like electrical stuff, and if you're checking wiring, if you see a code that has like a low circuit, yeah, it could be the solenoid, but it also could be, you know, if the circuit's low, it's shorted, so they'll get like a wire might be pinched, maybe the computer itself is not reading correctly, right? So you jump online and you look up a code and it tells you, oh well, you know, it could be, you know, these are all the reports that we see, and 9 times out of 10 it ends up being the EGR valve. Oh, cool. I'll just go buy this $300 EGR valve and throw it on there. And then it doesn't fix the problem, right? So now you're $300 into the thing and you're no closer than you were before. In fact, you could be two steps further back now because you don't even know if that EGR valve that you got is good. The parts that we're getting, I mean, you can't guarantee that the part out of the box is going to be good. For one, I don't know if you know this, but a lot of people repair vehicles that way. And so they will return that valve that was already used, and you open the box and it's an old crusty valve in there, or maybe it was messed with, right, already. So you don't even know if it was good out of the box. And for two, I've seen a lot of new components. It's new NEW, never ever worked. So it's a new part. You don't even know if it's good or not. So if you're just going in there and you're throwing a part in there to try to fix an engine light code, and you don't know what the sensor reading's supposed to be, or you haven't found the exact fault that you're looking to change. And I'll say, for just to make this simple here, say you need a resistance reading of 10 ohms and the one you pulled out was 20 ohms, and you know that's out of spec and that's what set the code. Well, then you know when you put the new one in, you should see 10 ohms, right? And now you've verified, right? And so you put the new part on, the code comes back, you test it again, and it's 20 ohms. It's like, oh, I got a bad new part out of the box. You don't go down this rabbit hole of like, well, okay, I replaced the EGR valve. Code came back. Shoot, what do I do now? Well, it's got to be the PCM. So you throw a PCM in there. Oh, now the engine light's back again. Okay, well, I know those two parts are good. That's what your brain tells you because they're new. Oh, it must be the whole wire. So I'm going to put a whole new wiring harness in there, right? And then the code comes back. And then you take it to the shop and you're like, hey, I've already replaced everything, man. Like, that is not a good thing. That's not a good starting point, because now we have to go through all that stuff and verify, because you could have put, it could have just been a bad EGR valve out of the box, right? And then here's the scary part. You put a whole wiring harness in there and you put a bad wiring harness in there. So now we verify the EGR valve was just bad. We just replace that out with an OEM one or whatever it takes to fix it. And then we come up with a whole different code. Like, well, now we need a different wiring harness because when it was installed was bad. So the parts canon, the swapping of the parts, you have to be careful with that. Just because you're putting something new on it doesn't mean it's now you can check that box. Just a little PSA. I mean, it's just like, that's a huge thing we see in the industry, is the part swapping and then assuming that the new part is good. A lot of the time, you want to leave as much alone as possible. And if you don't know exactly what you're looking for, you're better off just leaving it alone, because it will save you a lot of time, money, and frustration in the long run. I mean, it really will. It's something we see a lot. Well, I'll get off the tangent here. I'll get into some of the other stuff I want to get to. I got a lot to talk about now, man. It's been weeks, so we're going all out today. It's on today. Speaking of being on, can someone turn their heater off? Because it's, the heat is on. We are looking at 90 degrees today, 88 tomorrow, 93 on Monday. And fair starts on Wednesday, so we all know what that means. 102 degrees for Wednesday, 97 Thursday, cooling off into the weekend. So it looks like the first weekend of the fair should be pretty mild, 87, low 90s. Decent, not terrible, but we know next week, the week after that, I'll definitely be back up into the triple digits. So make sure you're prepared for that. It's been hot in the last couple days anyway, so I'm sure we've all been changing our attire, parking in the shade, getting the old sun visors back out. What do we talk about now? Well, let's move into some transmission stuff. As the heat gets higher, I want to get into that, but first, I had some interesting stuff with, speaking of parts, we'll get into this segment here because I think this relates a little more to the parts I was talking about. So we all know our major parts suppliers, where we get our aftermarket parts. There's a few that we use as a commercial independent repair facility that aren't available to the public. But the main ones that we all know of, O'Reilly's, Knapp Auto Parts, AutoZone, Advance or CarQuest, what once was. The two main players, O'Reilly's and Knapp Auto Parts. Well, there are only four major auto parts retailers left in America. And the word is that two of them are now going to merge. So O'Reilly's is reported at spending $10 billion, that's with a B, to get Napa under its umbrella. That would be a particularly interesting auto industry moment because even though both brands are similarly known for brick and mortar car parts places, O'Reilly's and Napa fundamentally do business very differently. So why does this matter? So O'Reilly's is big, publicly traded company. It runs all its stores with a high level of corporate consistency. Napa Auto Parts has a corporate franchise hybrid model. So many locations have a little bit more private store vibe. A lot of Napa stores, about 5,000 of them, are owned and operated by small business people, not the corporate mothership, which in Napa's case is GPC. So about a year or so ago, there was a corporate entity that came in. Napa Auto Parts is basically called Genuine Parts Company now, GPC. So Napa parent GPC also runs a company called Motion that sells industrial parts to factories. Now, back in February, GPC indicated that it wanted to separate its auto and industrial operations more cleanly. And this is what's going to get into the next segment here about the merge of O'Reilly's and Napa. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Got the best breakfast around? A recent survey says it's a three-way tie between Joe's Place in Paso, Joe's Place in Templeton, and Joe's One Niner Diner at the Paso Robles Airport. Who took the survey? People with great taste who like food that tastes great. By the way, their lunches are great too. Joe's Place in Paso, Joe's Place in Templeton, and Joe's One Niner Diner at the Paso Robles Airport. Open every day from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. for breakfast and lunch. Thank you, fellow Americans.
Hi, this is Chris from We Help You Legal. Legal documents should be simple and affordable. At We Help You Legal, there are no lawyers and no high costs. Just certified experts to assist you with living trusts, wills, divorce matters, corporations, and LLCs.
Hi, I'm Christina. We also offer notary services. You can find us online at wehelpyoulegal.com or call 805-237-7770.
We Help You Legal, your Central Coast legal document company.
Heater not helping much? Call Hutch. Hutch Heating and Air in Atascadero. Just like changing the oil in your car, changing the filter in your heating and air conditioning system will make it last longer and cost less to operate, which means more time in between needing a service technician, like me, Jared. But when you do, please remember us. Heater not helping much? Call Hutch. Hutch Heating and Air in Atascadero. Call us at 466-8199 and on the web at hutchhvac@yahoo.com.
Bahama Bay Tanning Company has you covered to be summer ready. Not only do they provide a tanning experience with packages to fit your needs and budget, they also offer tanning beds, spray tans, infrared pod, teeth whitening, clothing, swimwear, jewelry, and more. Locally owned and operated, Bahama Bay Tanning Company. Call 239-9800 or visit them at 1485 Creston Road in the Food for Less Shopping Center.
And we're back. This is Gearhead Radio, and I'm your host, Jimmy Purdy from Shifting Gears Auto Repair, located right here in Paso Robles, 1621 North River Road in Paso Robles. Check us out online at shiftinggears805.com. Love to help you out with what's going on with your vehicle any day during the week, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. Make an appointment online if you like. Hey, if you like what you hear, you've been to our shop, you've supported our business. Also appreciate any sort of review you can leave online or just spread the word. Nothing says thank you more than referring your friends and neighbors. And we have a lot of referrals and a lot of five-star reviews that I'm extremely proud of. I also really enjoy the one-star reviews because it gives me an opportunity to grow. So if we did something wrong, you got to let me know. I'm more than happy to help you out. But today, we are here for the next hour. Phone lines are open, 805-238-5775, if you want to get through on the radio. talk to me live on the air. We can talk about your vehicle, what's going on with it. Always appreciate any questions that you might have with your car. That's what I'm here for the next hour. So, all right, getting back into this article, O'Reilly's and Napa. So back in February. Why does that sound weird? February. I feel like if I keep saying it, it's going to make it weird. So I'll move on. GPC indicated that it wanted to separate its auto and industrial operations more cleanly. So we haven't seen much chatter about it until here recently. We caught reports that O'Reilly Automotive had made a bid for GPC's car parts operations, which could be worth $10 billion or more. Again, that's billion with a B. It's crazy. It's a lot of money. GPC didn't exactly put Napa up for sale. It announced plans to spin off Napa into an independent entity in 2027. O'Reilly appears to be preempting the next evolution of its rival by trying to buy it. Can't beat them, join them, I guess. Now, why does this matter beyond potentially changing parts store's signage? Well, let's go a little deeper on how these brands differ from our consumer perspective. So Napa's hybrid franchise setup leans heavily on commercial mechanic markets. So enthusiasts often favor Napa for having more experienced parts counters workers. You know, the old school guys that actually know what a carburetor is, and higher tier OEM quality house brands like Carlisle Tools or Eklund Ignition Components. Pretty decent high-end brands at a more economical price. Now, O'Reilly's is a corporate-owned powerhouse that has grown rapidly by absorbing regional chains over the decades, like CSK Auto, Checkers, Shucks, if you remember, Kragans. While it's great inventory tracking, O'Reilly stores tend to have a more standardized corporate retail experience. So I guess that comes down to what's better. Should I go to O'Reilly's? Should I go to Napa? So as a frequent auto parts store customer, we've had a pretty good experience with both Napa and O'Reilly's. The Ring guys are always the go-to when we need something quick and needs to be in stock. And the delivery times have always been good. And they're always super helpful and knowledgeable, but you can find some Top Gun old timers behind the counters at Napa's. Get hoses made, get them crimped. So in my opinion, I wouldn't really be able to say which one's better than the other, right? Because auto repair is very complicated and you need a little bit of both. And that's the beauty of having both, is so that we can have the ability to get what we need when we need it, depending on what the repair is. It's hard to lay down and say, well, if you're only going to do oil changes and spark plugs, right? Like there's got to be the diversity, and then the competition is what breeds excellence, right? I know for a short while there with Napa, we were getting a lot of parts runs by Uber drivers because their driver, they didn't have a lot of drivers. And I mean, that's if the competition wasn't there, they would have been like, well, you got to come to the store and get it because we don't have any drivers. But they went that extra mile for us as a customer to make sure that we got our parts so we didn't have to go to the store and pick them up. Right. And without that competition, like that wouldn't happen. So for me personally, like any sort of conglomerate that's going to come together, it just seems a little bit more of a monopoly. Now, I'm not a huge proponent of AutoZone. We don't really use AutoZone much. It's just our experience. We also have Worldpac and some other suppliers that we can use. But to combine the two major powerhouses that we have in our industry together, getting a little close to a little bit of a monopoly there, I would say. It's nice to have the options of two, right? And as a consumer, right, if you do DIY projects, it's not, I'm sure it's nice for you, but also for us, we're looking at prices, right? We're going through three or four different parts catalogs when we look up estimates and trying to find the best quality part at the lowest cost, as we can pass those savings along. So it might be $3 or $4 different, but that makes a difference, right? If we can save you $5, I'm sure you're happy with us spending the extra 20 seconds to dig through the different catalogs online to make sure that the part we're getting for you is the best quality they're going to stand behind it. They're going to give us the 3-year, 36,000 mile nationwide warranty, and it's $5 less. I mean, there's, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to say no to free $5, right? Even though the job might be $2,200, it's $2,195. Makes a little bit of a difference, you know? So what's going to happen next year? So reports indicate that Napa's acquisition deal could be done by late summer, but it's tough to tell how realistic it is exactly. Antitrust and anti-monopoly laws could prevent O'Reilly from wholesale gobbling up Napa. In fact, there's some stats on that. There are about 1,800 O'Reilly stores that are within 1 mile of a Napa store. Of those overlapping areas, about 600 markets have no AutoZone or Advanced Auto Parts nearby. So in those 600 neighborhoods, an O'Reilly buyout creates an immediate monopoly, making those specific stores guaranteed targets for forced FTC closures. The stock market's response of its writing that GPC stock is up, people are pleased that the brand was deemed validated at $10 million, and O'Reilly's is down just a little bit. Cash acquisition would mean debt, and then there are those antitrust issues to navigate. There are a lot of question marks around the situation that I'm going to try to keep an eye on. So maybe O'Reilly's ends up inheriting Napa Parts, Brands, and Carlisle Tools, or perhaps Napa's gets shuttered and end up becoming Advanced Auto Parts or AutoZone locations to satisfy regulators. As it stands, O'Reilly's has had Wall Street's attention, carrying a market valuation of roughly $77 billion. It has the cash reserves and the credit leverage to make historic deals. Meanwhile, GPC, or Napa, has been struggling. Hit hard by supply chain costs and economic volatility, its stock was lagging, leaving the entire GPC conglomerate valued at just under $16 billion. So I tend to think fewer competitors is worse for consumers in the long run, though I'm also expecting a flurry of comments along the lines of, I buy everything online anyway. My neighborhood Napa doesn't always have the parts I need on the shelves, but they can usually get them with me within 24 hours. For me personally, I'd always like to support a locally owned business than buying something online. And I think that's a good point to bring up with Rock Auto and what are the other online ones? I'm not even sure. I think it's Rock Auto. Oh, Parts Geek. Rock Auto and Parts Geek. So, yeah, do we use them? Not frequently. I'm aware of them. You have to be aware of them. Do I look up parts, find part numbers for stuff that I can't find on an online catalog? Sure. And every once in a while, we do have to buy something through there, especially with an older vehicle. Get something that's 25 or 30 years old. The local parts stores are just aren't going to have it. And where they're going to order it from is the exact same place that I'm going to order it from. So I'm just going to go, you know, skip that to that markup and just buy it direct from vendor. And then that way we can pass those savings again on to the consumer. There's no point of paying a markup to have someone just go online and Google a part when I can do the exact same thing. Especially with AI now, right? I can use AI to say, hey, find this part number that's online. And it says, well, it's available at Parts Geek. I was like, well, then we're getting it from Parts Geek, I guess. You know, and if anything happens to it, we'll just cover the warranty in-house. It's a very 1%, right? It's a very low mark that's not even worth making a system around. The main thing here was the same thought I had that this article has is the monopoly of it. As we've all known, Advanced Auto Parts CarQuest has been phased out. What's going to happen with AutoZone is very difficult to say, but if you take two of the major players here and you combine them, I mean, that's just going to put even more strain on AutoZone, and then eventually, if they fade away, then what? So, just even though it technically wouldn't be a monopoly right away, it's on the horizon, right? It's there. And Napa's big thing was with the commercial version. So they have the, what was the name of that company? It's like the commercial truck side of it. So that's the one that's really been dragging them down, and that's what they're trying to get away from. And that's the part of it that they're trying to sell. They're not trying to sell Napa. Napa's not for sale, but they were trying to sell one of their parent companies. And so O'Reilly's made a good move. Said, well, instead of buying that, we'll just buy the whole let's just buy the whole restaurant. Let's just buy the whole town. So good for them. But, man, $77 billion. Crazy. All right. Let me take a break. We'll get back. Let's get into some transmission stuff. Let's get into some more automotive technical things. We'll be right back.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero. See their online specials at aceautocare.com.
Fox News, I'm Paul Stevens. Israel sharing intelligence with the U.S. about an alleged Iranian plot to assassinate President Trump as U.S. attacks continue.
President Trump, in spite of this, in spite of two previous attempts on his life, is showing strength, not fear. And, you know, by saying, you know, we are going to bomb you into oblivion, I think that sets the tone very correctly.
U.S. Ambassador to NATO Mark Whitaker on Fox. Main Democratic U.S. Senate candidate Graham Platner stepping aside after a campaign plagued with scandal. Reaction from the GOP.
The replacement may end up not having a Nazi tattoo and he may not abuse women, but he's still going to share the socialist agenda that Graham Platner and these radicals in places like New York City and Denver do as well.
On Fox, Arkansas, GOP Senator Tom Cotton, Platner denying the allegations. America's listening to Fox News.
Hi, this is Mimi inviting you to come join us at A-Town Diner in Atascadero, where you'll find a comfortable atmosphere and a fresh home-cooked meal. We offer daily specials and have a homemade soup of the day. We offer breakfast and lunch menu all day long, so you can always experience a hearty breakfast and one of our famous Virgil burgers. Our dinner menu starts at 4 o'clock Monday through Saturday. Enjoy a malt or a shake with that meal, or top it off with a good old-fashioned banana split. We look forward to seeing you at A-Town Diner in Atascadero.
Gold is at an all-time high. Now is the time to take your scrap gold and turn it into cash or trade it in for new jewelry at Bella Jewel Fine Jewelry in Paso Robles. Take the old or broken bracelets, chains, rings, or trinkets that you never wear and go home with cash in your pocket, or get an additional 25% off to use towards a new item. Bella Jewel Fine Jewelry is family-owned and located at 1224 Pine Street in the heart of downtown Paso Robles. Open Wednesday through Saturday.
The Taylor Ranch has a new Bison Harvest Inn, and it's selling fast. I'm Susanna Luthi, host of KPRL's Free Talk California and Rancher. I want our community to thrive one plate of bison at a time. We've got new offerings like spicy bison sausage and a bison club that keeps you in meat all year long and gives special perks like a ranch bison safari. Bison transports you back 100 years when meat was what nature intended. Wild, wildly nutritious, and so very delicious. Order now at Taylor Ranch 1868.
Conservative patriots and freedom lovers, join the Republican Party of San Luis Obispo County for our biggest event of the year, the Lincoln Reagan Trump Dinner, celebrating America's 250th birthday, August 1st at the Raven Ranch in Templeton. Featured speaker is Trump defender Devin Nunes. General admission tickets $150 with VIP at $250. Early bird pricing still on till July 15th. Seating is limited and this event will sell out. Visit rpsloc.org for tickets today. Paid for by the Republican Party of San Luis Obispo County.
Looking for a foot pain solution that doesn't cost you hundreds or even thousands of dollars? Get the right fit at Tackins Shoes. Tackins has the latest Atrix 3D foot scanning technology available in-store, and it's free. In just minutes, their knowledgeable team will scan your foot to identify your size, pressure points, and arch type, so you get insoles built for your feet for real comfort that lasts all day. Tackins Shoes at the corner of 8th and Spring in Paso, or on Marsh Street and Slow, across from Wells Fargo.
And welcome back. You are tuned in to Gearhead Radio. I'm your host, Jimmy Purdy, from Shifting Gears Auto Repair. Phone lines are open, text lines are open, 805-238-5775. I'm glad out of everything I just went over in the last 15 to 20 minutes that February was the what y'all wanted to send me to correct. So appreciate the correction. At all that, that's what you picked up on. Okay. All right. Got it. I thought it was interesting. I guess if you don't do a lot of auto parts buying, then you're not really concerned with it. But anyway, the if you're just tuning in, I went over the segment between Napa Auto Parts and O'Reilly being coming together. O'Reilly's actually got a bid on Napa. I guess you call it a bid. If it's not for sale, is that an offer or is that a bid? So I think if it's actively for sale, then you would submit an offer. But if it's not for sale, then it's a bid. I don't know. Anyway, not important. Definitely out of my price range, so not worried about it. You imagine just like being that big where the, oh, you want to sell a small part of your company? How about $10 billion for all of it? It's like not even 10% of like, it's like pocket change. Yeah, I'll give you $10 billion. No problem. We're with 77, so not that bad. That's crazy. Anyways, moving on. Let's get into some technical stuff. Again, if you have a question, comment, anything you want to bring up, 805-238-5775, phone line and text line are open. As we get into some of the warmer weather, we want to make sure we're keeping our vehicles safe, keeping them tuned up. Make sure your AC is working. I mean, that's for you. But you also want to check your tires. You know, it's always good to do a visual check on them, see where the tread is, make sure the tire pressure is appropriate. But fluids are big, right? Coolant and brake fluid. You got to keep the engine running cool too. You got to keep in mind with these vehicles in this day and age, in the last 8 to 10 years, the coolant temp is not accurate. A lot of the time, you're not going to see the engine running any warmer than what it normally does. And maybe pay attention to it the next time you start your vehicle, because it's going to start cold, it's going to slowly climb, and then it's just going to ping right in the middle, right where it looks all nice and pretty, right there in the middle of the gauge. Pretty rarely you have a vehicle that's going to give you accurate temp. It's just going to get to the point, if it gets over 230, 240 degrees, the needle is just going to go from the middle straight to hot. You're not going to see the fluctuation in between. Engineers do that on purpose. That's what they want. They want you to feel comfortable, not have anxiety, not think about vehicles that are going to cause you problems. So you buy that same vehicle from the same place, right? So they keep the fluctuation of the temperatures, same with the engine oil pressure. You know, as long as the computer has got a quote unquote safe area that it's operating in, the output from the computer to the gauge is just going to show you a nice pretty spot where the needle sits. Until it goes out of range or out of a safe area, then the needle is going to quickly move. And you may have seen that. Maybe we had a newer vehicle overheat on you. You're like, man, it was fine. Then all of a sudden it was like buried in the red. I didn't even see the client that it was creeping up the whole time. So maintenance is going to help avoid that. You keep the coolant fresh, keep it flushed, check it. You know, whether it's every 2 years for ethylene glycol, 5 years or 10 years for the extended life, you want to make sure you're getting that stuff flushed out. And same with the thermostat, you know, keeping that stuff repaired as maintenance instead of waiting for it to break. Before I get into that, I do have a question about the Right to Repair Act, and that is something I did want to bring up here later in the show, but we'll just get into it right now. So the Right to Repair Act, if you're following along with that, has been going on for a very long time, and it's made a huge jump here very, very recently. So behind closed doors, because you haven't really heard a lot about it, Ford CEO and there was another one, I think Stellantis, they went straight to the president. You know, they went to the boss and they were like, hey, between you and me, let's make this deal. Let's make it happen. You know, and like the same with Jim Farley with Ford bringing up, oh, you know, these cars are really complicated. You don't want people hurting themselves in their driveway. So let's just make sure they're coming back to us. Well, if you didn't know, that's where the majority of, I mean, us included, we don't sell cars, so we make 100% of our money from servicing and repairing vehicles. But with a dealership, that's where they make the majority of their money is the services. So they sell you a car and they do want you to come back for the services to the point where they can then say, well, now this vehicle is going to need more service than it's worth. So go ahead and we have another one next door over here. We'll get you into a new one. Right? Like that's the process. It's the business model. There's nothing right or wrong about it. It's just that's the business model. And it works. It's been working for a very, very long time. And a lot of people are happy with it. You lease a car, you can turn it back in. Or you go there, you go to the dealership, get it serviced, get it maintained. Comes to a point in time where now the repairs, in quotes, have now exceeded the value of the vehicle for whatever that means to you. So then they get you in a new car. And I mean, if you're happy with that, you're happy with it. The problem is only 30% of the vehicles that they're selling now are going back to the dealership. Right, there's the technician shortage. There's not a lot of dealership techs, so there's a lot of wait time to get your vehicle in, 2 to 3 weeks on average in the nation. So it's a huge technician shortage, which causes a huge backlog. So for one, a lot of customers are looking, well, I'm not going to wait that long. I got to go somewhere else. And then they're pleasantly surprised if they come to somewhere like us that treats them very well, gets the car fixed. So there's a lot of that. There's a lot of people that just want to fix it on their own, which is nothing wrong with that either. So 30% is the retention rate of service. So they obviously want to correct that in their eyes, right? They want more cars coming back to be serviced them. So recently they went to President Trump and they said, hey, we want to get this thing signed. We want to make sure that all the vehicles are actually going to come back to us to be repaired. And he said, yeah, that's not gonna happen. So this is what we're gonna do. And talk about an all-time backfire. If you read into it, I'll put it in kind of layman's terms. He basically said, no, that's not what's gonna happen. And also, this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna make it so that vehicles can be repaired, and not just by independents, but by independents, by DIYs, by anybody who wants to fix the car, they're gonna be allowed to fix the car. Now, a lot of lobbyists try to take that and say, well, wait a second. There's a lot of telematics and electronics, and there's just a lot of stuff going on that's really, really complicated that it really should need to go back to the dealership. So then basically what happened with that was, okay, so then all the tools and data and software that's needed to fix that, you also need to you need to release that as well. So that needs to be available to the consumer as well so that they can fix that stuff. It's like just a... What an awesome. That's exactly what we needed. It was such a like common sense, like, oh man, that's the greatest thing I've heard in a long time. Like, talk about taking someone's manipulative argument and flipping it 180 degrees and be like, no, well then we need that stuff too. Thanks for bringing that to my attention. Now, a lot of it's like wrapped in like legislation and like a lot of technical jargon, but that's like the gist of it. It's like, if you're going to build really complicated stuff, then you need to make the really complicated diagnostic equipment available as well so that people can fix it. Because this is their cars. This is theirs. And people need, like, how do you not, like, as you're saying it out of your mouth, talking, like, trying to pass this, not sound like a monopoly? So you're going to overcomplicate vehicles and then only allow the people that sell them to repair them. That's insane. That's, how's that? And you're going to wrap it in a bow saying, well, it's the safest thing for customers to do. How is that the safest? What about the money? How much is that going to cost? Of course, you're going to charge more for that. If they can't go anywhere else, you're already 2 weeks out. Most of the time, it's already a week to 2 weeks out just to get your vehicle into a service center at most dealerships, which is fine. Like, that's not what I'm saying. But if it's going to be that, like, then you just start raising the prices. Why wouldn't you? That's just how it's going to go. So I'm happy to say the Right to Repair Act just recently, I mean, within like the last, when was this? I think it was about a month ago. Huge, huge, huge moves in the Right to Repair Act. So, and a lot of it's kind of been swept under the rug. We haven't really heard a lot about it. A lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. Like I said, a lot of lobbyists have been going behind, putting really, 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 really technical and a lot of just jargon, you know. It's really sad when the stigma of the auto repair industry is still around like this far into the day and age with all the technology and all the availability of the stuff out there. And what I mean by that is they try to mask it under being so technically sound, and it's like I can look through it and it's just BS, right? To tell me that it's overcomplicated because the telematics and the infotainment centers, and now we have LiDAR and radar, and we have drive-by-wire, and we have these fancy sensors that help. Like you can't just say it's fancy sensors. So how does it work, right? Explain to me how it's any different than any other electrical component in the entire vehicle. And I started this whole show with like talking about how important it is to understand the fundamentals of electricity and wiring and circuitry. There's no magic. There's no like black magic stuff going on. It's like very simple, and it has to be simple because it's on a vehicle that's going down the road at 80 miles an hour. So you can't overcomplicate it. Like it has to, at the bare fundamentals, the root of it, it's, it has to be simple. Otherwise it's never going to work. Right. So to try to bury it in lobbyist technical terms and try to get the president to like sign this thing, like, you know what? That sounds like it is super technical, and I don't want people to hurt themselves. So let's make sure they're going back to the... What are you talking about? I have nothing bad to say about dealerships, techs. There's good and bad, just like everything else, right? When you get into the same make and model over and over and over, it does isolate your ability to think outside the box. It's just human nature. There's nothing wrong with it. Those cars are just as technical, it's just as complicated as anything else, but you don't see the wider range of stuff you see from an independent side. That's my opinion. Maybe there's a little bit of fact there as well. I know dealerships take on more than just what comes in the door, what they sell in the lot, but we see a lot, a wider array of stuff that's going on. So you really have to learn the fundamentals of how this stuff works. And so my point is, if you're going to specialize in one vehicle over and over and over, what happens when that different one comes in, right? And then, so to have this Right to Repair Act only go back to the dealerships, I mean, what if you're not happy with that dealership and you want to go somewhere else? Well, that other place might not have the same capabilities that the dealership that specializes in your brand, right? I'm glad the moves that were made have been made. Freedom to fix is the is what's being used instead of the Right to Repair. Now we got the Freedom to Fix is the memorandum. So very cool. We'll be right back.
It's time to play. Pass Robles Golf Club is North County's best golf course as voted by you. Play the best condition course on the Central Coast. Visit the Pass Robles Golf Shop and upgrade your game with new gear, clubs, grips, and repairs. Take a lesson or join the Sip and Swing Clinics. Play the weekly nine-hole games, Monday Shamble and Thursday Scramble. Don't miss the monthly co-ed tournaments. Finish your round at Deeds Bar and Grill. There's no place like it. Pass Robles Golf Club on Country Club Drive in Paso Robles.
Whether you're remodeling your home or building a new one, think of Frontier Floors and Window Coverings in Paso Robles. Since 1977, Frontier Floors and Window Coverings has been the North County's choice for the finest in selection, quality, and service. From an area rug to a complete newly designed residential or commercial project, Frontier Floors and Window Coverings is equipped to assist you from floor to ceiling. Browse their 3,000 square foot showroom. You'll find hardwood flooring, laminate, luxury vinyl flooring, shutters, blinds, shades, draperies, and of course, luxurious stain-resistant carpet. Frontier Floors and Window Coverings, providing the highest quality at competitive prices with unmatched customer service. Call now for your free design consultation, 805-238-7878. Online at frontierfloors.net or visit the showroom at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Frontier Floors and Window Covering.
The Red Scooter Deli with two locations, downtown and on 6th Street in Paso Robles. The downtown location on Pine Street is open 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Thursdays now for concerts in the park. Plan your musical enjoyment with a to-go dinner from the downtown Red Scooter Deli. Red Scooter Deli has beer, wine, and mimosas. Ask for the 15% off KPRL discount. Great deli fresh food delivered throughout Paso Robles, Templeton, the airport area, and wineries. Go to redscooterdeli.com.
Thank you.
And welcome back. You are tuned in to Gearhead Radio on AM 1230 KPRL. Thank you so much for hanging out, tuning in, all your text messages. I haven't got any phone calls, but that's all right. I get it. We're in the text era. Communication through email and text only. That's okay. I just appreciate you hanging out. Coming down to the end of the hour here, so if there's anything else you want to text in, call in 805-238-5775. Also, throughout the week, if you got something going on with your vehicle, our guys down at the shop are eager to help. We are in a hurry to help if we can. Bring it on down. We'll check it out for you. Anything from preventative maintenance, repairs, transmissions, differentials, you want to re-gear your Jeep, you just want to service the minivan, bring it on down so we can check it out for you. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about, well, not a little bit, we're talking a lot about right to repair, now being focused on the freedom to fix, which also kind of, I don't want to get too much in this, but it segues into the DEF, what they call the fail-safe mode. So if you have a diesel truck, you know the frustration of it not regenning and then putting you into power reduce mode. And that is on the horizon to be fixed for the commercial vehicles. And we'll see probably that trickle down into the light-duty diesels as well, I'm sure. As all this stuff moves forward throughout the EPA and our president getting more involved into some of this stuff. The reason is pretty obvious. The amount of, the minuscule amount that we are saving the environment with the DEF compared to the strain it's putting on the economy that you are working and your vehicle then goes into derate mode and then you're stuck on the side of the road, which requires now another truck to come pick you up and tow you to a service station to then get it fixed, is just completely asinine. That's just the craziest thing you could ever think of. Kind of reminds me of when the EV started coming out and then you saw the people broke down on the side of the, like the memes of the people on the side of the road, and then the guy with the gasoline car and the gasoline generator would show up to then recharge the, it's kind of like that. Good morning, on Gearhead Radio.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to Jimmy Purdy.
Yep, you're on.
Hey, cool. I just listened to your talk about kind of getting tunnel vision when you work in a dealership. You don't learn to think out of the box.
Sure.
And back in the early 70s when I was going to automotive trade school, the dean of the school sat us down before we graduated and said, okay, you guys, you're going to start your careers. It'd be really prestigious to go to a Ford or a Chevy or a Chrysler dealership and be the top dog there. But if you really want to learn your trade, go find a reputable service shop where you service everything. That's how you're going to learn your trade.
That's fair.
And I took him up on it, and he was right. Only by working on 1,000 different mechanical devices do you really understand what the hell's going on.
Yeah, I think you just start seeing the patterns of how everything's kind of the same once you look under the skirt. You know what I mean? It's all just nuts and bolts, and you don't get so tunneled in on like, well, this is just how it's done here. Well, it's the same everywhere. Everyone uses the same basic constructs, just with a little differences. I mean, there's some that are a bigger pain in the butt to deal with than others, sure. But at the end of the day, once you get all the covers pulled back, it's kind of the same. And I don't want to say anything like make it sound like negative connotation, man. If you're in the industry and you're working every day, man, awesome, right? And if you're at a dealership, yeah, it's not easy. Like it's still hard, and there's still things you see, but there's just the diversity is just not quite there. And once you go from that day in and day out servicing the same truck over and over and over, and you go to something different, it kind of throws a wrench in your mind, and it takes a little bit to like get that. Okay, hold on a second. Wait. It is the same, right? It's all mental, right? It's like you have the ability to do it, right? It's just your mind's like, hold on, this is not the same F-150 that I've been working on over and over. This is a Dodge. Now what do I do? It's the same, man. It's the same. Just relax.
What I like to tell the guys that work around me now is I say, yeah, it's exactly the same, but completely different.
Yeah. It's simple. It's just not easy.
Yeah, you have a great day.
Hey, thanks, man. Thanks for the call. Bye. Yeah, it's like, and it's not like a right or wrong that I'm trying to convey it by any means. There's like some dealership. There's a guy down at Cole Transmission Tech. I can't remember his name, but that dude is a freaking transmission wizard. That guy knows what he's doing. And it wouldn't matter. Like, I mean, yeah, he's like, I think it's basically right. Stellantis products, Chrysler products, Dodge products. But I'm sure you could put anything in front of him and he wouldn't have any problem going through it. You do it long enough and you understand it's all the same, right? It's like, I can figure it out. So I'm not saying that if you work at a dealership or if dealership techs have any less competence. That's not what I'm saying. But if you're getting into the industry, the quickest way to learn how the thing works from a fundamental level is to see the multitude of different things that you only get from an independent repair facility. Right? The dealership's going to be very structured, very specialized, very like, you know, you start here in the lube bays and you work your way up. You know, we just don't have that. We don't have that. I don't have, 100 oil changes just waiting at any given time, right? We might have 10 to 15 in a day. The next day, we might not have anything. So if I have like someone that's a general service tech or a lube technician come in, like he, there's going to be a lot of oil changes going to do, but it's like, yeah, you're also going to be thrown some complicated stuff, right? You're like, all of a sudden, you're going to be doing spark plugs on something. You're going to be doing, you're going to be thrown into the mix very quickly. Right, and then you're going to step back a little bit and take a little bit more, easy stuff, and then get thrown back into the how would they say, the wolves, thrown to the wolves, and that's just the quickest way to learn. That's just that is what it is, and things aren't going to go right, but we're going to have the ability to have people overseeing it to fix if anything goes wrong and make it right, and know what the mistake you're going to be making. So I'm going to just so you know, when you get to this point, make sure you do it this way. And don't question me because I've already done this, so trust me. And boom, you just learned 5 years of experience on that one job because someone more experienced was able to explain to you where you're going to mess up. Don't mess up. And then you see the process and you're like, oh, I see why he wants me to do it that way. Man, I would have really screwed something up if I did it the way I wanted to. Exactly. And so that's learning, man. But no, thanks for the call. That's a good point. Where was I going? We're getting down to the end of the show here. Lost track of time. I told you I was going to be a little rusty today. It's been a couple weeks, so I lost my track of time to try to keep this thing flowing smoothly, but that's all right. Speaking of moving smoothly, we were talking about servicing, maintenance, coolant, brake fluids. One thing I wanted to bring up was transmission fluid. Now I'll get into this real quick because I don't have a whole lot of time, but transmission torque converter shutter is one of the biggest issues we are seeing in the newer vehicles. Now, most of that is actually because the fluid that's being used in these transmissions is very hygroscopic, meaning it's absorbing a lot of moisture. There's a clutch inside of the torque converter that is affected by that moisture. We're seeing a lot of problems alleviated by just replacing the OE fluid with like an HBLV ATF, which is something we keep in stock. So a lot of these transmissions, if you remember, it's like lifetime fluid. The factory fill fluids have been proven to be extremely hygroscopic. And if you remember that word, it's the same word we use with brake fluid. It absorbs moisture over time. Moisture is not good. So we definitely want to make sure we're servicing these transmissions and that we're replacing that factory fill fluid with the appropriate OEM recommendation. And what I'm talking about is Ford and Chevy with the HPLV. And that really helps the performance of the transmission, especially with the 8-speeds, the 9-speeds, and the 10-speeds. That's what I'm talking about right now. Didn't get enough time to get into the segment, but tune in next Saturday at 9 a.m. and I'll get right back into it. Have a great weekend. See ya.
Gearhead Radio with Jimmy Purdy is brought to you by Shifting Gears and Paso Robles on River Road. You can trust Jimmy and his team to take care of you and your vehicle the first time, every time. You're listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL 99.3 FM. Paso Robles, Tascadero, and Templeton.